Hello, everybody. This is Bill Cameron from The Drive. Podcasts of The Drive are presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, now hiring for great-paying skilled trade positions. Call 334-209-6355 to learn more. Thanks for listening.
From Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into the Friday edition of The Drive. Another beautiful day here in East Alabama. Hope you're doing well. It's Bill and Dan here in the studio. Drew had to stick around on campus. So since we are doing an abbreviated show today, we're going to have a shortened version of The Drive today because we have Auburn baseball coming up right here on ESPN 106.7.
I'll tell you what it is, Bill. The Drive today is in the fast lane. It's the fast lane edition express lane edition of The Drive because, yeah, we're only on for a little more than a half hour before we throw it over to Auburn baseball. Important programming. Auburn baseball on ESPN 106.7. That's going to be right after The Drive.
Yeah. Maybe the last time it's on ESPN 106.7. We will see. But the deal is Auburn basketball and Auburn football, basketball, and baseball are slated to be on Wings 94.3. But with baseball and basketball playing on the same night, it's happened a couple of times. Then baseball moves over to ESPN 106.7, and basketball will be on Wings 94.3. We've got, of course, Auburn, Michigan tonight from State Farm Arena in the Sweet 16. Auburn looking to move to the Elite Eight, as two SEC teams did last night. Should have been three, but two SEC teams advanced last night. But with that going on, and a schedule tip for 8:39, it won't be 8:39, it'll be a little later, I'm sure. But you don't want to have a baseball game going along that might run into the programming schedule for basketball. So baseball is on ESPN 106.7. The pregame will start at 4:45. We'll be off a little before 4:40 this afternoon. So if you want to join us, get on it. You're going to have to get through here in the next 35 minutes or so.
And we're only going to have a little bit of time, so there's a lot to talk about.
Yes, there is.
I'm going to Fargo this weekend. We can get into that.
That is wild.
We can get into that if
wild.
We can get into that if we need to. What a game last night that I got to call as Troy advances. But you have the teams that made the Elite Eight from the SEC last night and the team that didn't make the Elite Eight from the SEC last night. You also have the Auburn game tonight. I think we start with the Auburn game tonight and sort of your breakdown of what needs to go well, what's the path to victory for Michigan, and what really needs to work out if Auburn is going to advance and join those other SEC teams in the Elite Eight.
I mean, it all starts up front. I mean, that's where Michigan, you know, is.
They out-rebounded A&M, right?
Yes,
like
they
that.
Did.
Like you need
yes,
to you need
did.
To remember.
That's something
like,
to remember. How good a rebounding team Texas A&M is. And Michigan out-rebounded them with their pair of seven-footers that they have. And Trey Donaldson, remember, is a pretty good rebounding guard, too. But, I mean,
It's not just the bigs. Like, people look at the two forwards and think that's where the rebounding – it comes from everywhere with Michigan, mm-hmm. especially in this tournament. That's where it's come from. I think that the guards playing off of Donaldson, like how they play, not just – I mean, if they're shooting it well, which is what happened against A&M, like that's one problem. And then if they're also getting active on the glass, but it's going to be – yeah, I think the battle, it's easy to focus on Donaldson, right? And it's easy to focus on the two posts.
Yeah, Danny Wolf and Vlad Goldin.
I think it's those guards around Donaldson and how they play tonight and how Auburn can shut down, you know, whether it's the fellow who had 30 from Ohio State or the North Texas transfer Smith. Like they've got the Alabama transfer, right? Like they've got some good players, you know, alongside their biggest names. And I'm curious to see how they play tonight. But in general, I think that the way the Auburn you saw against Creighton, I think is up to the task. It's just a matter of can they keep it. It wasn't – Stephen Pearl was not suggesting that Auburn, and when he gave that fiery speech after the A&M, after the Alabama State win in the postgame, Stephen Pearl was not suggesting, like, oh, well, all you need to do is dial up the intensity for the Creighton game, and then we're finished. And then you can go back to being the, you know, no, they need to play as well as they did against Creighton and probably build on that. Because I would say,
Auburn needs more offense from Janai.
I would say, all things being equal, Michigan is better than Creighton, right? Like they're seated higher. Just because they're seated higher doesn't mean much in this tournament, like
I don't know, it has, but
you're right, at the top, at the very top. Yeah.
Arkansas is out, I mean, who is,
people didn't quibble.
Ole Miss is the only seed below a five, right, that is still alive, and they haven't played their Sweet 16 game yet.
People didn't really complain about the top 12, top 16 seeds and where they were seated, though. I saw a lot more, why are these sevens, eights, nines, you know, tens not placed at a different number, or even the teams.
They're all gone now.
And they're all gone now. But that would be the, I don't quibble too much with Michigan is, I think Michigan and Creighton, you could argue, like, you know, who's the better team between the two. But I would say, in general, I would agree.
I would think Michigan.
And so you can, mm-hmm. I mean, you're probably going to need an even better effort tonight than the one that got you into the Sweet 16. And it's just a question of whether or not Auburn can deliver. And you made an interesting point before we went on the air, Bill, which is, I think there was already pressure on Auburn.
Sure, this is already the number one seed. There's always a little more pressure.
And as a favorite in this game too,
solid favorite, nearly a 10-point, nearly a double digit favorite.
The stakes in the Creighton game felt different than other trips to the round of 30. Like when Auburn was an underdog against Houston in Birmingham, right? Like that wasn't, oh, well, this is a huge letdown if you lose.
Right.
Like, you'd love to win that.
It was disappointing, sure.
Yeah, but you were also a sizable underdog to a one seed in that tournament.
And that's what Michigan is tonight in Atlanta.
That's exactly right. And I think for Auburn, like, this one feels like it's within your reach to at least make the Elite Eight, and maybe more than that, because I suspect Auburn will be a favorite over whoever wins the Michigan State Ole Miss game. It's an opportunity. But as you said, there was already pressure. There was already immense pressure. And then a couple of the best teams in the SEC went out and looked at like they did last night as well.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, Florida did as expected, winning by 16 last night over Maryland. Alabama just
sounds like that could be the last game for that fella at Maryland.
Yeah, rumors sure that does. Sounds like Buzz Williams may be headed to Maryland.
Well, rumors that Kevin Willard could be the next coach at Villanova. And he would be leaving Maryland to take that job. And then if that's true, I guess rumors already circulating.
Oh yeah, they're pretty hot.
That if the Maryland job opens as expected, with Willard taking the leaving Philadelphia, if that happens. Buzz Williams of Texas A&M, formerly of Virginia Tech, familiar with the area, Marquette as well, he might be the leading candidate to replace Willard and fill the vacancy at Maryland.
What a blow that would be for A&M. I mean, to see Texas just go out and bring in Sean Miller, and Buzz Williams has done the job he's done there at A&M, and to lose, I mean, that'd be a pretty tough shot.
You know what, though? There was talk all season. I remember Jeff Borzello wrote this earlier in the year when he was sort of previewing what the hot seat could look like. And he kept listing Williams as candidates for jobs in a way that
I just wondered, that's a tough place to go. And you've got to be a certain type personality to really fit there. And I always wondered how good a fit he was. At A&M.
I wonder if it's if there is not that they are unhappy with the results, because he's done.
No, I don't think so.
Although it's been inconsistent, but you're right. It's not an easy place to win in the SEC. It's not like men's basketball is historically a strength for Texas A&M, right? So I could see why.
No, when have they been a whole lot better than they've been the last few years?
Right. They had the 2 years with Gillespie right before he got the Kentucky job where they were very good. And I think they had a couple years after Gillespie where they were also, but in general, it's a very recent thing, you know, Texas A&M being relevant in men's basketball. But no, I was struck by that. And so we'll see if A&M opens up. That's another pretty big, pretty big vacancy to fill in college basketball. We'll see what direction they go, and who knows what could happen there. But yeah, so Maryland season ends. Florida looks as advertised,
yes,
and they move on.
And Alabama last night set all kinds of records.
Oh boy!
I mean, I mean, the thing is, the game stayed fairly close for most of the first half. Then Alabama just wound up the first half on fire. They were 12 for 27 in the first half, shot 27 threes and hit 12. Meanwhile,
on fire doesn't really begin to cover.
Like, well, the second half does.
Okay.
I mean, because they were only up.
Well, I don't think it goes far enough.
Like, it was 25 for 51 for the game. They shoot 13. They went 13. What is the
Molten
there? 13 for 24 in the second half.
Like the
shooting threes.
The Earth's core, right? Like the molten,
yeah,
like that's what was shooting out of Alabama last night.
Yeah,
I mean, yeah.
Mark Sears was just phenomenal.
Yep.
Aiden Holloway was pretty darn good.
It's a national championship quality game on Saturday between Duke and Bama.
And I guess the question is, you know, can they repeat that? Of course, I doubt that anybody's, I mean, look, it is the best there's ever been as far as three-point shooting in an NCAA tournament game.
Right.
But this is an outstanding scoring team. They are the number one offense in the nation, and they're clicking better right now than they have. So
they're going to need to be clicking.
They are. But what's funny is a lot of the talk is, yeah, but they're trash defensively. Well, according to the metrics, they're not. I mean, the metrics have them as the number 29 overall defense in the country and one of the upper half of the Sweet 16 defensively, although they give up a lot of points.
Yeah, I mean, but they also play with it. There are a ton of possessions. So
that
it's like
exactly
looking at the number of points doesn't really tell the full story of how they are as a defense because it's usually
because they're shooting it as quickly as they can, quicker than anybody.
And they're scoring.
Yeah.
More often than not they're
not
scoring.
Not just shooting. Last night they really were.
No, I think that you've got two. No, I think Florida's better, but I think Texas Tech is a tough matchup, and Grant McCasland is a brilliant coach. He's been winning for a while at North Texas and now at Texas Tech. So I wouldn't be shocked at all if that Florida game is close. And then Duke Alabama, like I said, that game features two teams that are good enough to win it all.
That's exactly right.
And you're getting it in the Elite Eight, and that's not the only one because I mean we'll see if. I mean, I think if Houston and Tennessee were to play,
right.
you could explain.
That's on the opposite end of the spectrum. An Alabama Duke game.
For sure.
Which both teams may score 100, and if Houston and Tennessee play, 60 may get you the win.
Yeah, and Bama and Duke, you know that stood out when you saw the bracket, right? The possibility of those two teams could collide, and we're going to get exactly that tomorrow.
All right, 334-321-1390. It's Friday. We're going to check in with Barrett Salee for a few minutes. Barrett, yesterday, his first day as a regular season Braves pre- and post-game radio host. Braves lose yesterday, but, I mean, still.
Unrelated. Yeah. Two things are not related.
Wasn't Barrett's fault. But, no, we'll check in with Barrett, get his thoughts on that day one of his new job, and of course basketball as well. So stick with us here on the Friday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck.
River City Door Company.
On ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Friday Drive. Bill and Dan here in the studio, and again, an abbreviated edition of the show today because we have Auburn, Georgia baseball coming up in less than a half an hour with the pregame, that one from Athens this evening. Right now, though, it's Friday, and we're pleased to be joined by our regular Friday afternoon guest, that veteran of the pre- and post-game show with the Atlanta Braves, Barrett Salee. How was day one?
Day one was eventful, I think is the right way to put it. We had two robbed home runs. We had a four-run inning, a meltdown by a reliever, and you know, it was all in all kind of all over the place. But we'll hope. Look, I think with 161 games to go, I'm pretty sure we can dig out of this one game hole.
Yeah, I think there's time to get the ship righted. I mean, it's you know, it's just the first of many. Chris Sale, for the most part. While I, you know, what the times I got to see a little bit of it still looked really good. I mean, it's credit to the Padres. They were able to score three runs on the Cy Young winner.
It's a good Padres team too.
It is.
I think that's one of the better. There's so much attention has been paid to like the Dodgers offseason that I feel like the rest of the West has been ignored a little bit. And that's a good Padres team that I think can compete with just about anybody in the National League.
Yeah. When you have Jake Cronenworth batting seventh, that's a strong start, but I mean, look, the game would have been totally different had the Padres not robbed home runs by Ozzie Albies and Drake Baldwin.
You think Gavin Sheets is happy to be wearing a different uniform?
I'm thinking yes. But you know, if they lose tonight, then fire everybody.
Well, not everybody. Barrett needs a job.
It's not time to panic yet, but give it a day or two.
Yeah, it's great.
You know, it's fun. It's great to have the sport back.
It absolutely is. We've been waiting and waiting for it, man. It is great to have it here. Meanwhile, though, we're halfway done with the Sweet 16, and we were just talking about it a couple of minutes ago. The SEC has two teams in the Elite Eight. Probably should have been three. Arkansas, you know, had a 16-point lead coming down the stretch and couldn't hang on. But, man, Florida and Alabama looked spectacular. Alabama was just unbelievable last night.
I mean, when BYU scores 88 points and still loses by 25, that tells you how good Alabama is, right? Like, that is absolutely insane. And look, Florida, sort of the same thing. They just look relentless. So, I think it goes to show that everybody talking about the SEC – was right, and that this is just an absolute monster of a conference. And you know, we'll see what happens tonight. If more teams get put in the Sweet 16, obviously you guys are going to be keeping your eye closely on what's going on here, about 9 miles east of where I am right now. So it's going to be fun. I know you guys have a lot going on, and you have it's just like when basketball gets hot anywhere, it's hard to beat. And right now, there's no place where it's more prominent than Auburn. So I think they'll get the job done tonight against the Michigan team. I mean, if they slow down those bigs, then Auburn will be just fine.
Yeah, I know the folks, and this is hard to believe from like, if you were an Auburn student some time ago, right? But, like, downtown is – I mean, it's like a football game tonight. Like, I mean, that's what I think folks are sort of bracing for with the expectation that, you know, there's going to be tailgating. There's to be – watch parties. There's going to be a lot of enthusiasm, certainly if Auburn wins afterward. And it's like, this is, you know, I remember watching the tournament, right? But it wasn't. Oh, we'll watch.
It wasn't the same.
It wasn't. No. But because Auburn wasn't in it most of the time.
Yeah.
And I mean, so yeah, this is a really big Friday night in Auburn.
How packed do you think State Farm's going to be with Auburn folks?
Oh, this thing's, I mean,
packed. Now, here's the one thing that is odd to me, and everybody has asked me this, including my wife, is why did Auburn ask its fans to wear blue tonight? I mean, because
it doesn't make a lot of sense.
No, because I mean, Michigan.
Auburn be wearing the blue jerseys?
I don't know.
I wonder if that's.
But I mean, but
the higher seed has to wear white. Yeah. Has to wear home.
Yeah, so I was thinking maybe if they chose like the, you know, if they're going, I mean, is it to neutralize the Michigan blue? Like, it's not.
I hope not.
No,
I mean, imagine that's a big concern.
No,
it is going to be absolutely slammed.
And I don't know how many folks,
Auburn fans,
and I think a lot of them might decide to wear their orange or their white in case.
Although both from my family, like Matt and Ariel have got their navy blue on.
Okay.
As they headed out a little
Troopers,
while ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, so no, it will be as one-sided a crowd as Auburn has ever had behind them in a postseason game,
which is impressive.
It's gonna be awesome.
Which is impressive because Michigan is a fan base known for traveling and known for usually providing a pretty partisan environment for the blue. But you know, Auburn fans have been buying up these Atlanta tickets for a long time, right? Like the, under the assumption.
And, you know, there's a lot of Michigan fans here, like just in the city, but I would say they Auburn fans vastly outnumber them. So, man, I'm excited. You know, it's I tried my best to get tickets for my son, and that did not work. I mean, it is. And we're talking about, you know, $900,000.
Yeah, you're not kidding. It's either that or it's either that or college, right? So you had to decide. You had to decide.
And honestly, like that debate did pop up in my head. Like, how smart are you going to be?
Yeah.
What will he remember more?
That's right. Exactly.
Hey, I said it a little while ago, though. I mean, there's some pressure on Auburn now. I mean, they are the number one overall seed. They've been number one longer than anybody this year, and haven't played so great lately. I thought they really turned it around against Creighton. It was just Creighton hitting so many threes in the first half. But I do think the pressure's on them a little bit with two SEC teams already in. You know there's going to be another SEC team in the Elite Eight because Kentucky and Tennessee play. So I don't know. You know, I don't know that I would favor Ole Miss. I don't like their matchup up front. But I mean Auburn.
I would like their matchups in the previous games.
No,
in this
you're
tournament,
right.
Though.
Yeah,
here,
exactly.
And here they are.
Can they keep shooting like this? But I mean, don't you think there probably is a little pressure on Auburn just because you know they're playing late and they're there trying to at least get a fourth SEC team in.
Yeah, and you know it's a late start. I know some folks are upset about that, but you know the fact that really Jahni Broome hasn't been a massive factor so far through two games, I think tells you an awful lot about that team. But, you know, I've seen Michigan a lot this year. They, you know, they move the ball around. I mean, you guys obviously know a lot about Trey, but those two bigs on underneath, that's a dangerous duo, especially when you can get a guy like Trey, you know, connecting from deep.
Yeah, no, you can succeed earlier at schools because of the portal and you can change your rosters and things, but still the thought that Dusty May could – I mean, the fact that he's already taken two teams to the Sweet 16 in a very short period of time and could take two teams to the Final Four in a very short period of time. I think he is a – like I think Michigan hit on one of the great young coaches in college basketball. And regardless of what happens tonight, I won't be shocked if he has a very successful run at Michigan before it's all said and done.
And nobody knew about him like 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Nobody. You know, that goes to show you how, you know, coaches who are sort of at that lower to mid-tier, mid-major level, you know, can skyrocket up the charts, and he's definitely one that has done that.
Well, you think about Andy Enfield, right? Nobody knew Andy Enfield until Florida Gulf Coast has the slam dunk contest against Georgetown in the first round, and he goes from the coach of a 15 seed to the coach of USC. And he's now at SMU. Like he's been in the big leagues for 15 years, based on a Cinderella run. And those, I mean, Brad Stevens was a pretty obscure,
relatively overlooked. Yeah,
like Brad Stevens went from obscure to genius. And you know what? Sometimes these snap judgments can be wrong. A lot of times they're right. Like a lot of times you get a glimpse of a guy like that.
Yeah,
and it's
you
like
find out somebody that can coach. They can
well,
coach.
and it's a coach's sport now too, right? Like. If you get the right one, doesn't matter where he is, doesn't matter who he's with, what players he gets, he can get the job done. Rick Pitino's taken five teams to the tournament. I mean, come on,
unbelievable.
You know, Bruce Pearl, you guys know. You know, it's whether you have studs or whether you put together a competent team with a bunch of players who aren't, you know, ultra talented. Good coaches find ways to get the job done, and there aren't many of them in college hoops.
So, who you got in the Final Four, Barrett?
Oh man, Auburn. I can't not pick Auburn. Okay, and I know
I
like there are people going to say, oh, it's a homer pick. Like, well, yeah, but they're really good.
No, I'm right there with you. And I'll tell you what else, Barrett. I'm going to be the guy trying to kick the football with Rick Barnes. I'm going to be Charlie Brown every year and take Tennessee to the Final Four until I'm right. Until one day Rick Barnes is actually going to have a Final Four team at Tennessee. But I've been taking them to the Final Four for years. It's like how I took one day
you're going to be right.
Yeah, or I won't be. Like I had Phillip Rivers winning the Super Bowl for decades, and it never happened.
I have Auburn over Duke, and you know it's not very creative. But I've also got Florida in there, and who's my fourth one?
Either Houston or Tennessee, probably.
Purdue.
Oh wow!
Wow.
Yeah. I don't like that pick. I shouldn't have made it.
Yeah, I agree with that last thought. Don't think so. Barrett, we've got to run, man. What time is, let's see, when do you get started tonight? Is it Ronaldo on the mound for the Braves tonight?
Ronaldo versus Dylan Cease. The Ford pregame show starts at 7 your time, 7:40 Central Time, 7:45 Central Time. So, yeah. Going to be doing double and going to be watching the Braves game and the Auburn game.
Yeah, there you go. A late night. Enjoy it, Barrett. Hey, thanks a lot, man. Really appreciate you joining us. Let everybody know how they can keep up with you.
Yeah. All the socials at Barrett Salee. And, yeah, I'll be at studio tonight and every night for the foreseeable future.
Sounds good, Barrett. Thanks, man. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, y'all, too. See ya.
Barrett Salee joining us here on the Friday Drive. We've got one short segment left. Stick with us here on the Friday Drive.
Hip pain is not to be taken lightly. It could be a sign of
502 or email the drive at espnau.com.
Welcome back into the drive. Last 4 or 5 minutes of the show here this afternoon. Again, Auburn baseball coming up on ESPN 106.7, while basketball will be on Wings 94.3. Auburn and Georgia, the number two team in the country, and they have just been crushing the baseball. This one feels like, when we were talking about Alabama Duke basketball, Auburn Georgia feels like that kind of baseball game. I mean, you're not going to win many ball games, and Butch Thompson said this. You're not going to win games scoring 2 or 3 runs.
Not in this
Georgia.
League. Not in, well,
against
not in
Georgia for sure.
I wonder how many, we'll check at the end of the year and see how many SEC games in league play you win with 3 runs.
3 or fewer. Yeah,
yeah, not, like how many you'd win if you scored exactly 3 runs? I feel like the answer is not very many. You need more than that. With this Georgia team, you're right. They've got some nuclear weapons in the lineup.
Yeah, so that's coming up here on ESPN 106.7.
Auburn's got some firepower too.
Oh, they absolutely do.
Auburn's got some firepower too.
Up and down the lineup, and Ike Irish is right there. When you were talking about Mark Sears. Irish, I asked him about his hot streak, and he said, I don't really feel like it's a hot streak. I just feel like I'm finally getting to what I should be doing.
Is he?
Well, if he should be getting 4 or 5 hits and 2 homers every ball game, then Auburn's got a chance.
Is he a catcher as a pro?
He'll get a shot.
Okay.
He will get a shot because to get a bat like that behind the plate.
Yeah, I wonder if the bat plays to the point where they, if it's going to be, like, if he can catch, that's a bonus, or if they'll just look at the bat and say, well, you can play something else, and
it will definitely give him plenty of opportunities. Not as though he's not going to get him. He's going to be a first round pick.
Anyway. He could also play pretty much all over the infield, right? Yep. I mean, that's the thinking. Yeah.
Yep. We got a couple of minutes left, so let's go ahead and get our thoughts out there for tonight. All right. First game of the evening. Is that Ole Miss opportunity for the SEC to move on? Ole Miss, Michigan State. Michigan State about a. Only about a 3.5-point favorite.
Yeah, I've been wrong about Ole Miss throughout this tournament. I thought they'd lose to Carolina. I thought they'd lose to Iowa State. They raced out to big leads in both of those games, right? Like, I mean, they didn't keep the big lead against Carolina, but I mean, they were like Ole Miss.
They really shot it. I think they're over 50% as a team thus far in the tournament.
So I think they're an unpredictable team. I viewed State with some skepticism too. To be completely honest, I looked at them as a. You know, you got to be careful about teams that really overachieved right in the regular season, and you know that's a tough thing to sort of recreate in the tournament. So I'll probably go Sparty, but I have no idea what to make.
Yeah,
I'm
going Michigan State as well. Kentucky, Tennessee, the Wildcats have won both meetings this year, but I'm with you. Yeah. I'm going Vols this time.
I mean Tennessee's got a tough blend of offense and defense for just about any team.
We'll wait for the Auburn Michigan game. Purdue Houston. I can't go with Barrett. And no. Go with Purdue.
No, I mean kudos to anybody who's got Purdue going this far because they were a popular pick to get upset. But I like Houston. Houston's another one of those teams that feels like they can beat anyone in this field. I think they're going at least one more round.
And Auburn Michigan tonight. Tigers 8.5-point favorites. I don't know that they'll cover. but I think they win.
Close game. My instinct says close game at the half. Auburn pulls away and wins by 10-12 in the second half. That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking like tied at the half. Maybe even Michigan leads at the half. We got time. I think tie game at the half and Auburn by 10 or so, 80-something to 70-something. That's what I'm thinking. I think Auburn eventually can figure this out, but it might take a little bit of time.
Well, you will be gone Monday. You're in North Dakota. We'll be here talking Final Four. And
we'll see
how many SEC teams, see if the Tigers indeed are in it. But we're out of time here on the Friday Drive. Auburn baseball coming up next. Have a great weekend, everybody. We are out of here. Hello, everybody. This is Bill Cameron from The Drive. Podcasts of The Drive are presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, now hiring for great-paying, skilled trade positions. Call 334-209-6355 to learn more. Thanks for listening.